This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here with your top stories this Wednesday. The Aspen School District will issue its new voter-approved $95 million bond in phases. The district will start by collecting just $50 million, largely for housing. Max Marolt is the school district's interim chief financial officer. He says the strategy will buy the district more time to find cheaper housing.
If we go through our first $50 million and more housing opportunities become available than we expect, we can always go to issue that second amount and keep the momentum going. So it doesn't really hinder our efforts at all.
The district doesn't have to spend 100% of the bond all at once, but whatever they collect, they have to spend within 5 years. The district wants to use the bond to purchase an additional 60 housing units. They don't want to spend more than $700,000 per bedroom. A group of Western Colorado counties has been researching whether they can produce sustainable jet fuel. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports that the resources exist, but it doesn't quite pencil out yet.
Sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, can be made from a variety of sources, including trees, plant seeds, and algae. SAF is blended with traditional jet fuel, improving air quality and lowering greenhouse gas emissions. But Pitkin County's climate manager said Tuesday that the region isn't ready to produce large-scale SAF.
We have a lot of material, but it's spread out over a large distance, so that poses a challenge. We need to have that competitive price.
There are currently only a handful of plants in the U.S. that make SAF, and Eagle County is looking to install a small converter at its landfill. That would convert solid waste into jet fuel, extending the life of the landfill in the process. Port suggested Pitkin County wait to see how Eagle County's project goes before considering something similar. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
Pitkin County announced it is updating its wildfire regulations to comply with Colorado's new Wildfire Resiliency Code. The changes include expanding defensible space around buildings, especially on steep slopes, by clearing brush and trees that can fuel fires. The county will host a webinar next week to gather public feedback, with commissioners scheduled to discuss the updates in a first reading at the end of February. Vacant homes in Colorado could be taxed to pay for affordable housing under a new bill proposed by state lawmakers. The Aspen Daily News reports House Bill 36 wouldn't automatically implement a tax. It would allow municipal governments to ask their voters whether to impose taxes on vacant homes. The taxes wouldn't apply to short-term rentals, a sticking point in previous iterations of the legislation. A regional study looking at 2020 census data found that over 40% of homes in some mountain counties are vacant throughout the year, with some vacancy rates as high as 70%. In statewide news, one of the West's last free-flowing rivers has been under a lot of stress lately. Drought has forced ranchers along the Yampa in northwest Colorado to cut water use during 4 of the last 8 summers. As KUNC's Scott Franz reports, a new book out this winter explores the Yampa's rich history and ponders its fragile future.
The Yampa has been Eugene Buchanan's backyard river in Steamboat Springs for more than 30 years. The kayaker says he hopes his new book, chronicling its endangered fish, wacky paddling tales, and the threats it faces from climate change, will inspire readers to protect their waterways.
Maybe they'll look outside and see their backyard creek flowing through their backyard or their town, and just think about it a little more. Maybe they'll donate to a local nonprofit that's trying to help preserve it, or they'll pick up some trash.
Buchanan's quest to write about the river's pulse and Yampa yearnings took him from one of the oldest cattle ranches on its banks in northwest Colorado to the coal-fired power plants that use its water to help make electricity. He says climate change is the biggest threat to the river, and he points to Colorado's record low snowpack at the end of last year as signs of how vulnerable the river system is. Scott Franz, KUNC.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife reported yesterday that a female gray wolf died last Friday in northwest Colorado. Gray wolves are a federally listed species under the Endangered Species Act, so all mortalities are investigated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. CPW will announce the cause of death following an investigation and necropsy. The agency brought the wolf to Colorado from British Columbia last January as part of the state's reintroduction program. A federal appeals court has ruled that a Denver police search of a suspected shoplifter violated the Constitution. CPR's Allison Sherry has more.
At issue here is that the Denver police officer, Armando Cruz, didn't ultimately end up arresting the man that Walmart employees at first thought shoplifted from the store. Cruz did briefly handcuff the man and patted his pockets down. The officer pulled a prescription pill bottle and a wallet out of the man's pockets, but did not place him under arrest. Ultimately, Walmart employees determined the man paid for his merchandise. The Tenth Circuit ruled that because the man wasn't arrested, the search violated his Fourth Amendment rights by opening his wallet and taking the pill bottle. This means the officer can face a civil suit in the case. I'm Allison Sherry, CPR News.
And in regional news, the Trump administration has tried to shrink or rescind several national monuments in our region, arguing they limit the profitability of public lands. But new analysis from the nonpartisan research group Headwaters Economics suggests the opposite. The report finds national monuments don't harm rural economies and can actually help drive them. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yannis reports.
The report found that across 30 national monuments in the West, there was long-term steady growth in economic activity, like jobs and earnings, in the surrounding areas. Communities near Grand Staircase Escalante in Utah have used the monument to diversify their economies with hospitality and recreation businesses. Here's Megan Lawson with Headwaters Economics.
The economics and the economic contributions to the community are really important and valuable. Monuments really can promote stable and diversified rural economies.
The report also looked at more recently designated monuments and used data from other monuments to forecast their future economic trends. For example, in the region near Camp Hale National Monument in Colorado, designated in 2022, jobs and wages are projected to increase in the coming years. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The study includes monuments such as Canyons of the Ancients, Bears Ears, Browns Canyon, Craters of the Moon, Grand Staircase, and others, with data available for each. The Transportation Security Administration is preparing to roll out new airport scanning machines nationwide. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports, the technology is already being tested in Las Vegas.
The new machines at Harry Reid International Airport use AIT, Advanced Image Technology. It allows TSA officers to less invasively scan travelers and their luggage without taking any items out. And new body scanning machines provide a less specific but more targeted image than the cylindrical scanners use today. It creates an avatar and then flags any potential problems, including weapons. Dan Wiley, Deputy Federal Security Director for Homeland Security, says tests indicate TSA officers are moving passengers through lines faster.
So there's no pictures, there's no data being kept or analyzed. It is quickly right there at the checkpoint for the passenger to see, hey, there's an anomaly on your leg, we just need to check that.
This technology will be tested throughout this airport beginning in the spring before it's rolled out in other airports. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
Officials in Wyoming are arguing their state Supreme Court made mistakes when it struck down two abortion laws. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mertzbach reports, it's the latest battle being fought at the state level.
The state alleges that the majority of justices ignored the most essential part of the Life as a Human Right Act, one of the near-total abortion bans. It says a, quote, unborn baby has a fundamental right to life from conception, which is widely debated. The state's asking the court to either recognize that an unborn baby has a constitutionally protected right to life, or explain why it doesn't. It pointed to several other alleged legal errors. Now the other party, a group of abortion access advocates, will respond. Then the Wyoming Supreme Court will decide whether to rehear the case. In its recent decision, the majority of justices said the abortion laws violate Wyomingites' right to make their own health care decisions. People from Idaho and South Dakota, where abortion's banned, also come here for care. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.